Number 155. If you'd like to stand for a second, I'll bring you this.
10. Oh, Pastor, can't you just give us a sermon without us having to open our Bibles? Just give us a 3-point outline and send us home. Make us feel good. No, open your Bibles. No, the answer is no. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5. Excuse me. An interesting thing here about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that churches are involved in evangelism. We want to witness to people. We get involved in missions to be able to witness beyond our own area here. We hand out tracts. We invite people to church. We just want to get the good news out. Well, we get the example from our own Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. While he was here on earth, what did he do? Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Excuse me. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither 2 coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, It shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Let us pray, dear God, help us to be servants for you in the dispensation we find ourselves, preaching the gospel that saves sinners. Help us to do it just as you sought your 12 to do it as well. Guide our thoughts and help us as we study this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we find the recipients and content of the gospel. You notice that the Lord's gospel is strictly an Israelite call. It's a very dispensational chapter, this chapter 10. Because when we get into the epistles and into the rest of the New Testament, we find that our responsibility is the whole world. But here the Lord sent his 12, and he specifically even says, don't go to the Gentiles. Don't even go to the Samaritans, who are like a half-Gentile, half-Jew. I want you to go just strictly to the lost sheep of Israel. So this chapter is not primarily for the church. It has reference to preparing Israel to receive their king, and then the ultimate setting up of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. The message is that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In fact, the king is here in our passage here. He's here. But the nation that should have received him and for all that he is could not see him, and thus they rejected him. But the message that the 12 were to preach is the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Messiah's kingdom, the same one John the Baptist preached about, except in the present tense and not future. Go to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and starting at verse 6. John, chapter 1. And starting at verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, meaning he was not the Messiah, but was sent to bear witness of that light. You can just continue to read on. That this is a fulfillment of things that were given in the Old Testament. Verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Down to verse, let's go down to verse 45. Philip then findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, behold an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me, Jesus? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. He saw who Jesus was. Oh, that all Israel would have saw Jesus as the rightful king that he is, but they did not. Chapter 3, John chapter 3, verse 30. They came to John the Baptist and asked him, are you the Christ or not? He said, verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. And he that cometh from heaven is above all. Which, by the way, is above all. Missing out of your New Modern Versions. It's in your King James. Amen for that. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure, but unto him. For the Father loveth the Son, and he giveth all things into his hand. He that believeth, these are the words of John the Baptist. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. This is the gospel that John preached, preparing Israel for the coming King of Israel. Notice within the healings that the 12 were sent forth to do, they were also even to raise the dead. To raise the dead. I don't know about the healers of today. They want to say, well, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. How about raising the dead, some of you fakers? You phony baloney healers. Raise the dead. Let me see that. They can't do that, and they won't be able to do that. There's only one who can do that, and that's the Lord. And one of these days, He's going to come, and all the dead will hear His voice, and they will rise up from the graves, some unto eternal life, and some unto everlasting damnation. Which will it be for you? You need to trust in this Jesus of Nazareth, the King of Israel. Well, He goes back now, back to Matthew chapter 10. He tells them the manner in which they are to spread the gospel. First thing we see, the laborers were not to take any provisions with them. How we even today need to depend upon God and not man. You know, this whole matter of witnessing, evangelizing, winning the lost to Christ cannot be treated like a business. This is the work of God in the hearts of men, and we're just simple instruments to be used by Him to spread this good news. It's not up to me to save people. That's the Spirit of God's work. It's my job simply to go and preach the gospel. Now, we can't treat this thing like a business. Why, if we had enough money, we could do this. If we had enough people, we could do this. If we had enough programs set up, we could do that. We accomplish this or that or the other thing. Now, the Lord says, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. Don't even provide for yourself to make it through the next day. Because this is going to be a ministry where we need to depend upon God and not man. If we work for the Lord, He will see that His people provide for them. One thing that's been evident here at our own ministry for, 38, going on 39 years, is that God has provided what we need to keep on going. He's provided it. And it's through all of us together, giving of our means and giving of our talents, giving of our time, and sometimes even being imposed upon to serve the Lord. Do you get tired of serving the Lord? Are you tired of being imposed upon to serve the Lord? Don't. For there will be reward in the end. Great reward in the end. God will provide. The New Testament church follows similarly, or it should follow similarly, the way that the manner in which the Lord had His disciples spread the gospel of the kingdom. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, right here would be the place in a message that most independent Baptist preachers will start teaching the subject of tithing. You are not going to get that from me, all right? Because I do not believe that tithing is the requirement for the New Testament church. I do believe we should give, and we have a responsibility as believers to give. But you're not going to get the command of how much from me to you. Or am I going to lay down the blessings and the cursings upon you if you don't do what I say you're supposed to do? No, I'm not going to do it. I've refused to do it and continue, and by God's grace will till I die. Say, well, you'll never. I remember standing as a student preacher boy in a room with 12 other student preachers, And I presented my position on this, and the four pastors that were there, kind of like our mentors, all of them in chorus said, "Well, Gary, you'll never be able to establish a church without teaching tithing." Well, I've been in the ministry for 39 years. I can, you know, pat my, you know, rub my chest or whatever. Most of the 12 men in that room with me as student pastors are not in the ministry today. But this one still is. And I have not preached tithing, and I won't do it. Not going to start. I don't mind if someone else wants to put that, go ahead and do that, but not me. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you how to do it according to the New Testament scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. "Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock?" That makes sense, doesn't it? That makes sense. "Say I these things as a man, or say not the law the same also?" Here Paul brings in the law as an example of the principle here being done. Verse 9, "For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn." Imagine somebody doing that. You know, this ox works all day long turning that grindstone around in a circle. "Well, don't let that ox eat all the corn." You know, the ox isn't going to eat all the corn. He just wants a little bit of it. What kind of a person are you that would do that to an animal? Doth God take care for oxen? Verse 10. "Or saith he it altogether for our sakes?" And by the way, it's not that don't feed the oxen, God will take care of it. No, God's taking care of the oxen by saying to you, don't muzzle the ox, let him eat. That's how God's taking care of the oxen. Verse 10. "Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker." Oh, unless you have a King James Bible, the rest of the verse is not there. Okay? "Of his hope." That's in my Bible, but it's not in other people's Bible. Hey, you know what, folks? We got two Bibles going on here. One's got to be right, one's got to be wrong. They both can't be the very words of God. There's a problem there. All right, back to what I'm preaching on. Verse 11. "If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things?" Now he switches over from these examples in the animal kingdom and so forth and the farmer to the preachers and to the spiritual ministers. "If we have sown unto you spiritual things," and that's what, you know, let's just look at our own situation here. That's what I'm doing to you. I'm sowing spiritual things out to you, and I hope it takes root. I hope it's helping you out and that you're learning some great things and that you're becoming a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ yourself as a result of it. Then you know what? I should be able to take part of your carnal things, and that would be your worldly things and money and goods. In the old days, they'd bring bags of fruits and vegetables to the preacher to feed his family. We don't need that today. We got stores to go to. Just give me money, and we can take care of that. You know, but does not then your spiritual minister have the authority or the right to partake of your things? He's giving you of his things. You should give of your things back to him. So do we have a responsibility to support ministries and ministers and so forth? Yes, we do. It's being taught here in the New Testament. As it continues on, I want to go, that was it. Now down to verse 13. Verse 12, just read so you don't think I'm skipping. "If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather?" Now the Apostle Paul is saying, and even we expect that you would take care of our needs. "Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ." The Apostle Paul had an attitude about this. I'm not going to make you give to me. I don't want your carnal things, because I don't want anybody to say Paul's in it for the money. But he is standing up for the rest of the ministers who need to be taken care of down through time. Verse 13, do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? In the Old Testament, the Levites, you know, the people would bring their sacrifices and their gifts and their offerings to the tabernacle, later on to the temple. The Levites were allowed to have parts of those things to help themselves take care of their families. The Levitical tribe was really not supposed to be working on their own to provide for themselves. The other 11 tribes were to be supporting 1/12, one tribe of Israel, with a tenth, a tithe, of their offerings. So 11 tribes gave 1/10 of everything they had to take care of the 1/12 tribe, the Levites. They did not, and in time, in several places throughout the Bible, you'll find Levites out in the field sowing and reaping, and they really should not have had to do that. They should have been attending to the things of the house of the Lord. And as a result, the people of Israel kept getting away from the Lord more and more. So, that's just being brought over here to show that today, now I'm not a Levite, I'm not a priest, and I'm not asking you to give a tenth. Just that if I sow unto you spiritual things, you should sow unto me carnal things so that we can take care of the minister and he doesn't have to be worried about how he's going to eat tomorrow or how he's going to feed his family or put clothes on them. And all through these years, we've been able to do that. All right, verse 14. Or the last part of verse 13. And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. If you read through the law, you'll find certain parts of the offerings often were to be taken by the priest to feed his family. Not all of it was to be put on the altar. Some of it was to be used to feed themselves and their families. Verse 14. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And, you know, I do not apologize for it at all. I do get paid from you folks. Now, our church isn't big enough for you to be able to support me completely, so I've had to work. That's just the way it's been. And the church just isn't big enough and doesn't have enough income coming in on a weekly basis to be able to allow Pastor Freeman to say, I'm not going to work anymore, I'm just going to live off of the money that comes in to the church. We have not been able to do that. But a good portion of my living requirements are paid by you. Well, I'll just tell you. You pay my rent. You pay my health, right? Well, actually not now because my workplace pays my health. You pay for, well, what other things, honey? Housing. Utilities, my phone, all those things are paid for by you. What else, honey? I can't think. Social Security. And those are the things that you pay for me every year. And it's been going on right from the very beginning. And that's what we should do. Now, I think we should all be praying that God would increase our attendees and people who come so that eventually our pastor can stop working. Because I tell you what, I'm getting tired of working and preaching at the same time. I am. And oh, how I would love to be able to sit in my ivory palace called my study and just read some things and study some things that I've been wanting to do for many years. But and every Monday, tomorrow, Monday, I'm going to get in my car and go to my place of work, and I'm going to complain to the Lord once again. I'm going to say, Lord, here we go. Here we go again. Boy, it would be nice to stay home and just do some studying. Let him help me to sell some graves. Help me to sell some plots and some markers. And so far, he's done that, and we're thankful. Wednesday night comes around, we preach again. Go back to work on Thursday. Come back on Sunday and preach again. Preach in the morning, preach in the evening. Go back to work. So some of you say, well, Pastor, I can't get out to church because I got to work, you know. So do I. So do I. Maybe the Lord's done that so that I can have a feeling towards you. I'm going to say this. You know, there are a lot of pastors who have never worked a day in their life outside of the ministry. And they really can't have the feelings of your infirmities. They can't really maybe get down where the rubber meets the road kind of a thing. And yet they demand you to give them a tenth. And then not only that, a lot of times, one Sunday, they want your whole paycheck. They call it Paycheck Sunday. You know, they get that out of the law. They get it out of there. You know, they figure out a way to extract money out of the flock. I just think it's wrong. I just think it's wrong. If it doesn't come from a willing heart, then okay, keep it. Keep your money. Don't feel obligated. Take it with you on your way home. But if you feel led of the Lord to do it, do it. And I'm going to show you a verse on that as well. Down, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. I'll show you that verse right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Say, why are you talking about all this? Well, because he sent his servants out. Don't worry about the money part. You just go. A laborer is worthy of his hire. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, here we have it in the New Testament scriptures for the churches. Instruction for the churches, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him tithe. Does it say that? Oh, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. You know, when you've been told if you don't tithe, God's going to make you sick. God's going to send you to the hospital to get your tithes out of you. If you've been told things like that, you say, I never heard that. Wait, I have. One preacher said he went to visit a guy in his church and he believes he was there so that God could get his tithes out of him. That is sick. No pun intended, he was in the hospital, but I mean, that whole thinking is sick. That is not right. And a minister shouldn't feel like that at all, that he has that authority to demand you give one-tenth of... And by the way, it's not one-tenth for these guys of what's left over after taxes and everything else, and after you've paid your bills and all. It's one-tenth of the gross. I mean, they've got it all figured out. It's not one-tenth of the net that you take home, it's the gross that you made, and you've got to give one-tenth of that. And if you don't, you're in line for judgment, sickness, whatever. They have all kinds of reasons that they scare the people with in order to give. Not a necessity. Not grudgingly. Well, I got to give a tenth, honey. Make a check out for the tenth. How much did you make this week? Well, after tax. No, honey, not after taxes. How much did you make? Well, after we paid the... No. How much did you make? Well, if we give a tenth of that, we're not going to be able to pay our bills. You know, you never hear the stories about people who tithe and then can't put socks on their kids' feet. You always hear the stories, well, I tithe and then the Lord doubled my this or gave me a car or, you know, something like this. How about the guy who's been struggling? But he tithes because he wants to obey the minister, you know, the pastor. And his wife is like, honey, we can't do that. Yeah, but he promised, and I don't want to get sick, and I don't want any kids to die. Hey, what kind? Grudgingly, out of necessity. Yeah, there was one person who said, he said, if I don't tithe, that my child might get sick. What do you think? You think that's right? I think that's wrong. I think that's wrong. I would much rather you give this way. Verse 7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. I believe that I can rely upon the heart of a saved believer who's giving for the right reason, that they'll give the right amount and we'll have the amount we need to continue on in the ministry. My dad always would say this, and he said this a long time ago, many years ago. He'd say, when we were discussing things, and maybe I would say something that would indicate my lack of faith in some, you know, that we can do this. And he'd say this, you know, Gary, what God orders, he pays for. What God orders, he pays for. One way or another. If it's what God wants, he'll take care of it. And I've had to hang on to those words a lot of times, you know. And I've found that that's true. And oh, how good it is to be able to go to that box and put your money in. You say, Pastor, do you do that? Yes, I do. This is a pastor who does it too. A lot of these guys, by the way, who demand a tenth from you have never paid a tithe of their own money. Some of them don't. They say, well, you ask them to tithe, do you tithe? Well, I'm the pastor. Oh, so? You ought to learn to do what you're telling them to do. You ought to practice what you preach. And every man according as he purposeth in his heart. It doesn't say every man except the pastors. Okay? Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And the Greek word for cheerful giver is, the word for cheerful is hilarion. Hilarion. And we get the English word hilarious from it. So we should hear a lot of laughing and that after the service today when you put your money in the box. Oh, great! Get any more? Put that in too. Yeah, hilarion giver. Cheerful giver. Don't go over there, oh boy, I put that in there. Pull back out, take change or whatever. You know, cheerful giver, hilarious giver. That's what the Lord loves. New Testament churches to follow this. If the people refused to hear these servants of the Lord, then they were to graphically display their own responsibility for coming judgment upon them. Here they were with the gospel of the kingdom. They'd come to an house and they'd say, hey, you freeloader, get away from here. What were they to do? If the town kicked them out of their town, we don't want you here preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Get out of town. They were to graphically go outside the town and they were to shake the dust off their feet as a sign of I'm not responsible for the judgment that's going to come upon you. I tried to warn you. Now there are three things here I want to go over here before we finish this. Notice down there in verse 8. I'm back in Matthew 10, verse 8. Freely you have received, freely give. And then over there in verse 13, and if the house be worthy, let your peace be upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. Give peace or take peace. And then verse 14, shake off the dust of your feet. I'd like to show you some New Testament verses which have to do with us in this dispensation. Now that was in the dispensation of the law leading up to the kingdom. It was a different responsibility, a different way of preaching the gospel even. Gospel of the kingdom. The Lord's here. Receive Him. We now are after the rejection of Israel of their Messiah and the establishment of the church age. Here we sit. Do we have a similar type of responsibility? I believe we do. Have you freely received something? Should you not freely give it? Freely give it. You know, some of these ministries, they, especially these televangelists, if you send me a seed faith, then I promise you that the Lord will double what you give to me. You know, on and on. It's just the ridiculous stuff that they do. Seed faith. They want to do that. I know they get it from the farmer sowing the seed and everything. But I believe it's just a ploy to get money out of people. And it works. People are willing to do this in order to get something out of them. Well, you freely receive. I'll go to Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Romans 3, verse 24. Romans 3, verse 24. Being justified, meaning declared not guilty, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Have you freely received something? According to that verse, you have. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. All right, keep going to the right. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians 11, 7. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? See, if you've received something freely, give it out freely. And then I like what the last book of the Bible, Revelation 21, verse 6 says about the gospel, about salvation. Revelation 21, verse 6. And He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life for a tithe. No, freely. Chapter 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. I believe the church and the Spirit say this. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. If you've received something freely, freely give it out. What about this giving peace and taking peace? Look at Luke chapter 19, verse 42. Luke 19, 42. Saying, now this is Jesus as He's looking at the city of Jerusalem before He dies on the cross, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least, in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. By the way, let me read it as it's found in modern versions of the Bible. You see how much of this verse is missing. If thou hadst known in this day the things which belong unto peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. A lot of things missing, aren't there? Even thou at least is missing. The word thy day, the word thy before day is missing. The word thy before peace is missing. You know, those things make the verse different in understanding. You hang on to your King James Bible, because any other Bible is corrupt. Hang on to it. Don't give it up. If thou hadst known, even thou at least, in this thy day. That's Israel's day. It was their day. It's not just a day, it's Israel's day, thy day. What did they have? Things which belong unto thy peace. Israel, peace is coming to you. He's the Prince of Peace. You've had war and battles all this time throughout your whole history. I'm bringing peace. Isaiah talked about it. Jeremiah talked about it. A day of peace is coming. The psalmist writes about it, how the shepherd will bring peace and quietness and stillness. Calamity will be gone. Those are King James words. Thy peace, Israel. You know what? You and I have something similar. Go to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And this is not something you should keep to yourself. You ought to take it and help people come to know this peace that passeth all understanding. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. People we meet don't have peace. They're at enmity with God. That's what the Bible says. They're at war with God. You were at war with God till you came to know Christ as your personal Savior. You were at war with God. Well, I wasn't at war with God. Oh, yes, you were. Even if you don't think you are, the Bible says you are. You're at war with God until you get justified by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, just keep going. Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, I believe both Jew and Gentile, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Over to verse 17. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Chapter 6, verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then if you would go backwards now to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay, you've got this peace. What are you supposed to do with it? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's bringing two people together, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm an ambassador. We send ambassadors out to countries to represent the United States to those countries. The Lord Jesus Christ sends you forth as ambassadors to represent the Lord Jesus Christ to this world. And we have a ministry to this world to reconcile them to God through Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do. You need to give your peace to them. You know what though? If they are not worthy of it and they do not want to receive you, take your peace, your gospel, and go to someone else. And on your way out, shake. Oh, is that right? I should do that. Well, go to Acts chapter 13, verse 51. Acts chapter 13, verse 51. So here they are in Antioch, and the people of the city did not want to listen to the Apostle Paul. Verse 51, but they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. Of course, Westcott and Hort leads out the word there in front of feet, so they shook off the dust of feet. Okay, whose feet? Their own feet or the feet of the people? Their feet! You better have a King James Version of the Bible. New International Version, New American Standard, they're all corrupt. They leave things out that are important. Whose feet are being shook off the dust of? Their feet. Paul's feet. And they shook it off against them, and came unto Iconium. You know, sometimes you almost have to say, I've given you the gospel. Nothing else I can do. I'm going to take this gospel to somebody else. Now, I believe only God knows when someone has said no for the last time. So I often get caught into this anyway. There are some people I say to myself, they don't want to hear this. They don't want this. I've told them this till I've been blue in the face. And they don't want it. Almost feel like shaking my feet off in front of them and saying, okay, the judgment day is going to come and you're going to be responsible for yourself. And it is coming. Judgment is coming. Jesus told his disciples, tell them the judgment day is coming. You need to get ready for the King. Trust the King. Be saved through faith in Him. He's going to die on the cross for your sins. Trust Him. He will save you. He is the Lamb of God. John the Baptist said that. Which taketh away the sin of the world. Trust in Him. They won't. They say, no, get out of here. We don't want you here. Shake off the dust. The judgment day is coming. In fact, the wrath of God already abides on them. But sometimes that same person will come around and ask a question, and I give them the gospel again. I give it to them again. I may have already in my mind done this, but if they still come around, I'll give it to them again anyway. Wow. But you need to realize, not everybody's going to listen. That's something else that some of the ladies were saying when they came in here this morning. Yeah, we preach the gospel, a gospel that not very many people want. But guess what? They still need it. They still need it. Give them the gospel. And pray that God would send more laborers into His harvest to preach the gospel to them. And how about you? How involved are you in the putting forth of the gospel? Do you know, when I got saved, it was the normal thing for people who get saved to do is this. They get saved, they get baptized, they join a good Bible-believing church, and they attend the meetings of that church. I mean, that's just what they do. It's a funny thing about Christians. They go to the services, and then they witness for Christ. They try to tell people about the Lord. How you doing? I know one thing. Since I got saved, and when I was saved, it was way back in the 60s. That's how Christians were. That's what they did. I watched my own wife's parents. They got saved, I think it was on a Monday night. Their first service was Wednesday night service after they got saved. They were there. The whole family was there. I can remember my wife sitting there. She was just a little 4 or 5 year old girl. I remember watching that family come in and sat down. No, wait a minute. Your dad came first, didn't he? To check it out, right?
I think Mom and Dad both came first.
They were there Wednesday night to check us out to see if we weren't some kind of aliens or something, you know? And check this out. That Sunday morning, that whole family was sitting in church. And you know what? Anytime there are church services, you will find them there. That's where they're at. Their kids have all grown up and gone, but guess where Mom and Dad still are at service times? In their church services. I know we're high tech and we got TV and we got a lot of things to do and everything else, but you know what? What's more important? I don't have to answer that. You need to answer that. Oh, he's going to tell us what's more important. No, you figure it out. You figure it out. What's more important? That'll determine what you do. And it needs to be done from your heart. You need to do it because you are being impressed by the Spirit of God that these are things that I ought to put in my life. And I think it would help you if you do some of those things that I just mentioned. It will certainly help. Dear God, I thank you for the attention of these people. Thank you for the example, even the Lord Jesus Christ sending out his disciples to go preach the gospel of the kingdom. And they did it. And they had some success, and they also saw that people didn't want what they had to say too. Same thing is still happening today. Help us, Lord, not to lose heart. Help us to just be faithful to you. For you will give the harvest. We just need to labor in it. And help us to do it. Bless this church, Lord, for thy own honor and glory. Help the people as they support it and attend to it and give of their money to it, that they would do it out of a heart of love and desire to serve you. May they be a cheerful giver. And then, Lord, help us. We've freely received the salvation. We need to give it out. It's a gospel of peace. And oh, we know the judgment day is coming, and there's not many days left. We need to be faithful about the things of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.